Hello, welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Ronizone Media and Ronizone.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosserlookouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's 9:07. It's on my computer, so it is time for First Thoughts.
Yes, it is. And you are?
leave it at that. My name is Jeff Roney, long O, like Roney. And I am here joined with the wondrous, the beautiful...
Yeah, whatever. Colleen Roney.
Okay, let's see. I'm not...
What?
Okay, that's
you
better.
You having problems?
Yeah, better now.
Okay. Not long, like Roni. It's macaroni, pepperoni, right. Rice-a-roni.
Yeah.
That's how I always explain it.
Yep. Anyway. I always met the most inventive students in the class, and they would think up new nicknames for me and little funny things.
Yeah.
So we just saw what happened to Frederick.
Yes. Yes, we did.
And so what'd you think?
I liked it. Not my favorite episode, but I liked it. I thought it was really good. Loved the ending. Thought it was fantastic.
Okay. So.
I missed Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. Gold, I did. I was waiting for him just to pop up at least once, and he didn't.
Well, he did. He did in the promo for next week. But
Yeah.
So let's kind of dive in. Okay. I took some notes, and then I know that we'll hit on a couple of things, and you'll just kind of run. So that's good.
Okay.
No problem. So the first thing I noticed is Prince Charming had a red hood on.
Yes.
When he was riding around at the beginning. So I was wondering if it was some kind of a disguise.
Well, it seemed to be like he was trying to hide. Yeah. It seemed like he was trying to hide his identity.
Yeah.
That's what I gathered. Because he was totally trying to escape from his father.
And it was interesting that his horse jumped over...
The fallen tree.
Fallen tree, but the others did not. And I didn't,
no.
I didn't know if it was a group of them that couldn't jump one at a time, but they didn't even try.
No, they didn't. And I think it's because, and I'd have to go back and look at it. It's possible that they had on armor on the horses that wouldn't have allowed them to jump, whereas he didn't. Or he just had a very strong, powerful horse and they, you know, just, they knew they didn't. So I don't know.
Now, I did remember, I think, that King George had a purplish hue to his
tunic?
Wear, his tunic. And so when the two hooded men grabbed Prince Charming, at first I thought it was like the Dark One's goons or something. I don't know. And then when Abigail kind of came out from behind them, I said, well, okay, then that must be her
goons.
Right. So
what?
It was interesting that Catherine was accepted into law school.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of... You know, if maybe Boston Law, you know what I mean? If there's something really important there and just kind of...
Harvard.
Okay. So that's that.
Just saying.
And so, yeah, but she wanted to leave. And then through the episode, I don't want to jump too far, but it's kind of like she's kind of taking charge, and she's going rogue, if you will. She's kind of breaking away from the norm.
Yeah, she started making decisions. Yep.
So, but Abigail says she has eyes in the king's court.
Yes.
Very reminiscent of the evil queen saying, I have ears and eyes everywhere.
Right. Regina saying the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, that discussion that Mary Margaret and David were having walking along by Sarah's Ice Cream and in front of the hardware store.
Which, okay, so the hardware store, the windows reminded me of like a castle. Okay. And reminded me specifically of the leaded glass windows that you'd see in the Disney cartoons.
The last time we saw that front was when the mysterious stranger came to town. He was parked right in front of there, and Emma and Henry were across the street. So, but you know, there's a lot of deep themes in this, and a lot of them when Mary Margaret was talking to David was about lying.
Yes.
Living a lie.
Yeah.
And being honest. Mm-hmm. Being honest, telling the truth.
Right.
Telling all the truth.
The whole truth, not just parts of it.
Yep. And it was about choice, but choice with responsibility and action. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I saw. It's just one thing to choose someone, but it's another thing to choose someone and tell the other person and live with the consequence.
Right.
It just, you know, all... I do not want to go political, but I just want to say that this, I think, is really the crux of the issue, is love is powerful, but love of someone else's spouse is dangerous. And so it's that kind of, you know, love should have boundaries, and choice has consequences. And so it's all these different things. So I thought it was very interesting.
Well, there was a question of, is it even love then?
Right. Right.
And even Mary Margaret at one point said, you know, this isn't love.
Yeah.
So.
And so part of the exchange, it was very interesting. Emma and the mysterious stranger, who we now know as August Wayne Booth. And, you know, the only Booth I know.
Right.
Was the one who shot Lincoln.
John Wilkes Booth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, for what that's worth. But it was very, very interesting, the exchange they had, because Emma is a very in control person, and this August loves to throw her off, and you know, even back to he is becoming my more favorite character now because I did love his monologue or his little explanation about the typewriter. That's still probably one of my favorite just monologues that he gave at that point about, you know, you're going to wonder where I'm going to take this, to the mysterious places I go with this, and you're going to wonder what's in there and what I'm doing. And it was just great. But anyway, I love the way he coolly kind of kicks her off the path. She's very kind of linear and straight, and she knows what she's doing. She's in control, and he'll kind of, you know, and it's very much like new lovers in that kind of early stages of getting to know each other and the playful whatever. So it is very, very interesting. And we did notice, and I think definitely one of the listeners had brought up the fact that the changes in Mary Margaret since the pilot to now. And she once wore a cross. Then she wore a key. And then the dress, not drastic, but
no,
even
but
now,
subtle changes.
Emma was saying, now you have a plunging neckline.
She's like, plunging? She goes, well, you were a top button kind of girl. And she was. She really was.
Right.
So she's loosened up quite a bit.
So, yeah, very... very interesting. I also noticed that the Nolans had a laptop. That's very interesting for a town that, you know, has a a old school TV up in the corner of Granny's, never turns it on, but it's there. And some people have cell phones with texting. Some people have rotary phones, and they have an old glass water cooler in the corner of the sheriff's office. So it is interesting, all this stuff. Well,
it's timeless. Stuff. That's the whole point. It's timeless. Right. That's what they said. So you can't pinpoint any specific era.
Right.
Because, again, the fairy tales themselves, I mean, we know that they were written certain time periods, but you really can't pinpoint them.
I don't know for sure, but I think that houses being online was a fairly recent type of event. I don't know that they had that in the mid-80s. I don't know. I may be wrong.
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't.
It was interesting that when David was halfway confessing, that he got down on one knee.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
And, you know, it was in a way
a reverse proposal.
Like, right. Yep. Kind of getting out of the marriage.
Yes. Or,
yeah. And now we know, okay, first of all, we've heard things like, the Evil Queen said, "This is my forest." We've heard that there are things like the King's Road. Then we've heard of kingdoms. Now we hear their realms.
Right.
So it's interesting. Now it's almost like we could, if we wanted to, get a map and kind of start mapping out the different realms. And it was almost kind of like an old Western or some kind of old an old story of a drug runner, right? You know, I have to get across the border because when I get across the border, they can't get me, right? And so it was interesting that she said, okay, we're out of King George's realm now.
Right. We're in my father's realm. You should be safe here.
Right.
Because Midas didn't want to kill him. George did, though.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this, but it was almost like, in a way, Abigail kind of had a little force power. I was kind of amazed at the power that she had over the goons, right? The guys. And she just kind of held up her hand like, no. And it was interesting.
I didn't see it as force. It was just very much that they respected. She's a princess.
Okay.
So I think that they respected and knew that, you know, all she had to do was say something and they would do it or not do it. Right. You know what I mean?
My fanboy comes out every once in a while.
Yeah, I know.
So it was interesting when Abigail and Prince Charming were talking about their tragedy.
Yeah.
Love tragedy.
Yeah.
When she has had her love taken away from her by a mishap, who originally she said that Frederick was cut down.
Did she
one
say
moment?
That?
Mm-hmm. And the next she said that he jumped in front of something to kind of protect.
He jumped
king.
In front of the king,
right.
Pushed him out of the way, and in doing so, touched him, and that turned him to gold.
Yeah, and not a direct thing, but that kind of reminds me a bit of the David and the Ark story. It's kind of going down a road, it started to tip, and then somebody kind of grabbed it to protect it, and something happens. Anyway,
okay.
So then there was this lake.
Yes.
Nostos.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ring any bells with me.
Nor with me. But I'm sure there's a explanation behind the name.
But the water there will help people return what was lost.
Right.
So the thing was, what I found interesting was it was another situation which is very much like the Hansel and Gretel situation.
Mm-hmm.
Someone needed something, didn't have the guts or the wherewithal to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
But they sure as heck would set someone else up to go get it for them.
I don't think Abigail could have gone. Do you know what I mean? She said she tried.
Well,
then did she actually herself try?
I'm just saying.
Or was she more worried that
it's another situation where somebody didn't have any. They had full vested interest in the situation, but they sure didn't want to get their hands dirty or do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether the Evil Queen could get into the Hansel and Gretel house or not, still up for debate.
Yeah.
Was there magical power that kept her? I don't know. But she, those people sure have a way of, look, before you go, would you mind doing one thing for me? Will you go in this special lake, bring me some water, and there's a guardian in there. You got to be careful, though. You know, it's just kind of weird. So, we'll talk more.
Well, what about let's talk about the lake a little bit.
Okay.
So the guardian was a siren, which typically the sirens were in the ocean, not in lakes.
Right.
But however, the Arthurian legend is the Lady of the Lake who gave Arthur the sword, Excalibur. Mm-hmm. And that's what made him King Arthur. Anyway, what I found interesting was that when she first kissed him, when she converted herself into her transformed into, you know, Snow White, when she was kissing him, he dropped the sword right into the lake. So I'm guessing that's going to come up at some point in time. Just saying.
Right. And the Arthurian legend, mm-hmm. I definitely kind of saw some little hints here and there. I actually saw it more of Samson.
Okay.
In that with a couple of edges on it, the temptation pulling away, but the dropping of the sword was like the power, mm-hmm. dropping of the power. Mm-hmm. And he was falling prey to this siren.
He was allowing himself to be vulnerable.
And, you know, there's a lot of these, unfortunately, female, you know, even in Dracula had mm-hmm. his maidens there.
His harpies?
Right. That would change shape mm-hmm. to be who the person really yearned for mm-hmm. to kind of lure them into, you know, whatever. So, you know, this type of thing has happened a lot.
Very much so.
Now, I'm going to say something very controversial, but I did kind of take a peek, right? Mm-hmm. So let me back up, say one thing, and I'll come right back and I'll say what I'm going to say. Is in Phantom Menace, Shmi Skywalker mm-hmm. said that she did not have a husband, but she became pregnant. She had no man, and she became pregnant with Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So most of us in the North America understand that there was only one time in history mm-hmm. that happened, mm-hmm. right, in the Bible. Okay.
I think most of the world recognizes that too.
Okay. But I'm just saying,
anyway.
In their other stories,
mm-hmm.
and other myths and legends
mm-hmm.
where,
Virgin birth.
So it's the same thing with the walking on the water as well.
Mm-hmm.
I took a look and there are other stories that had the same thing.
Right.
So,
she was the guardian of the lake. It was interesting that she was walking on the water. And yeah, I mean, they showed it from underneath so you could see she was walking on it, which was interesting.
Yeah.
But see, she took on human form at that point in time too. So,
We have the temptation and the wrestling with it mm-hmm. and the dropping of the sword and all that. And then we have the when he will not fall for the temptation.
Right.
That's when she drags him under the water and all that.
Because he recognized it was all an illusion. And that's when he realized, I don't want an illusion. I want the real thing.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that's where in real world, David realized he couldn't have a fake marriage with Catherine when he really wants to be mm-hmm. with the one he really truly loves, which is Mary Margaret.
So, who put the knife there?
I don't think anybody put the knife there. I think it's, remember, did you see at the bottom of the lake, right. there were the other knights and men who had gone before who basically were drowned in the lake.
Right, right.
I think it was one of theirs.
Okay, you play the fairy tale card, but I'm saying it kind of was easy. Because, I mean,
I think if you really trudged the bottom of that lake, you'd find a number of them.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is I was actually expecting him to find his own sword because he dropped it earlier. And I thought for sure when the vine started pulling him down, the seaweed or whatever you want to call
right.
it, when it started pulling him down and he was like basically trapped there, I was thinking, oh, yeah, you know what? He's going to reach down and grab his own sword.
That was another magical plant, too.
Of course.
It was, you know, kind of growing and grabbing and all this.
I'm betting she controlled it, too.
Right.
And when she went back to kiss him, which I'm sure was in her, I almost wondered if she was changing her mind and was going to save him to, you know, let him breathe, or if she was going to try and suck out all the air out of him.
That would be
more likely what's happening. Yeah. But
so
he was different. He was different. And she even said it right before she pushed him in. You're different than the other. You didn't fall for it. Mm-hmm. So that's why either she was going to either try harder or she was going to actually rescue him because he would be different than the others.
Yep.
But I kind of saw that coming. I saw him doing something to her. I saw it coming.
So our first video game in Storybrooke.
Yeah.
Interesting that the mother probably did what most mothers did in the 80s and gave their kids these handheld games.
Mm-hmm.
And they left
a big deal.
Left the book behind.
That was like a big deal.
Right. But she was trying to divert him away from the book.
So he wouldn't remember. So he wouldn't think about the book.
So, you know, in the 80s, I think the mothers maybe did it for kids to kind of keep up with the Joneses or whatever.
But in this case,
it was a forced thing of, you know, she did not want him reading. So.
Right.
Yep. All right, so the convenient folder with the pictures in.
The envelope?
Wow, right there.
The white envelope that had the picture, which, by the way, didn't show either of their faces.
Mm. Yeah, it didn't. Second or third picture did.
Oh, see, only.
Yep.
What second or third picture? I only saw her looking at one.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Oh, see, I missed the other ones. I only saw her look at one.
You knitter.
No, I wasn't even knitting at the time. Okay. I remember that I was looking at it, but I don't remember. I remember David looking at two or three other pictures of him and Catherine.
Yep.
But anyway.
So let's talk about the mysterious stranger and Emma at the wishing well.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of things there.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely there was a plaque that had a little saying about the wishing well.
And even said wishing well, which, by the way, is a huge nod to Disney.
Sure.
Because of Snow White's wishing well and the fact that actually in the cartoon as well. So I'm sure there's a double homage there.
Yes. And so when he was talking about the water and the legend of the water can help you find things that you have lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought it was interesting. It was kind of like, a yin and a yang or a connection again between above ground and, let's say, underneath ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fairy tale land and Storybrooke. So it was that same. I'll bet you if they put a camera down there, it would have gone all the way down to the lake, right?
Right.
Somehow.
Right.
So.
Right. But here's the thing. Do you not see what happened there with the whole reason of why he did what he did? Let's talk about that. So, Mr. Stranger, who we know is August, which, let me skip back to something. When he was going to take her to go get the drink, she was like, I'm not getting on that thing with you. Why don't I drive somewhere? And he's like, no, I know somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And Granny goes, I'll get on.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that was pretty awesome. I'm like, you and like every other woman in the town wants to get on the back of the bike with him. But what was he doing before that? What was he doing before that? Did he or did he not? And I can't remember the sequence, but did he or did he not do what he was doing before the wishing well? Or was it after?
It was before.
It was before.
He added, looks like to me, he added stories to the book.
Did he add them or did he fix them? Do you know what I'm saying? Because remember, Henry ripped out some stuff.
Right.
Okay. So was he adding it back in? And again, this is what we talked about, is that he's there to either change the stories, fix the stories, add to the book, or put back in what was ripped out. Do you know what I mean? Which I think that if that's the case, if he was putting back in what was ripped out, then he was, in fact, summoned by the fact that the book... Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he was doing something to the book. He was fixing the book somehow.
Fair enough. So
we don't know whether he's adding stories or changing them or just putting back what was ripped out.
What I thought was interesting to me, I am not a writer of old books,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed to me, and I know it wasn't completely dark, but it looked like he was developing film because those types of trays and the, right. the different liquids and the way he was hanging them up mm-hmm. on the lines, mm-hmm. again,
very much like pictures.
I understand that there was light coming in. Totally got that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like
it had the same feel, having
the same look of someone mm-hmm. who's developing film,
right?
So,
which yeah, that could very well be that he is actually again was he
copying it or was he? I'm for sure he was adding it because we saw the book binding and the string and kind of sewing it together.
Here's the other thing. I'm tying all this together. It's all flooding me. So follow along if you can. Okay. So he was developing the book, right?
Right.
He was developing the film of the book. He was, which is basically the process of putting onto paper,
right.
what the camera has captured, right?
Okay.
That's typically what it is when you're developing film, right?
Right.
What if the water he was dipping it in was from the well.
Mm.
Restoring what's lost.
That's great. Yeah, okay. That's great.
Second thing is that then he turned around, even if the wishing well doesn't have any real magical powers, which I'm pretty inclined to believe it does, mm-hmm. but even if it didn't, and even if it's just a fun little legend or what have you, the fact is that he took Emma there and gave her the water to restore that which was lost.
Right.
Which was Henry's book.
Well, okay.
No, Henry's book.
Right.
That was a nice little setup.
Right.
So that he could then, because he's the
put
one
it
who
underneath the car.
Exactly.
And there was a lot of water underneath the car too,
exactly.
So it's probably putting the two together. Let me, excellent, 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 mm-hmm. excellent. Let me finish with this though,
mm-hmm.
is the book that he was dealing with
mm-hmm.
did not require a typewriter.
No.
So my thinking is, the typewriter is either one, a decoy,
mm-hmm.
or two, just like a lucky something. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Some kind of I have a lucky penny or this or something. I don't know. But
we didn't
see
him use it.
Right.
And certainly those pages, he wouldn't have used it.
Right.
And he was using some very old fashioned tools for binding the book.
Right.
Those were not new tools.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And the fact that he had to rebind it,
mm-hmm.
that's interesting. Because it was in perfect condition when it was locked up in the box, was it not?
Right.
So what happened to it then?
Well, he had to take it apart and add the pages to it.
Right.
And then put it back together.
That's what I'm
assuming.
So
there's glues and different things. So, okay. So let's talk about, again, mm-hmm. the wishing well and mm-hmm. the discussion between the two.
Okay.
It was very reminiscent of, and it's not just this, but it's all a lot of different stories. The Emma and the mysterious stranger is the difference between faith and fact.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and science. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Lost really dealt with this pretty well, you know, with Jack and Locke. Okay. Locke believed in this idea that he was brought to this island for a purpose.
Right.
And Jack would have none of it.
He was a man of science.
Right. So there was an interesting line that the mysterious stranger said, if you don't believe, you will never move on or you will be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this idea that faith can move you out of this existence.
Mm-hmm.
And this place that you're stuck in, that was the idea that I got from it.
Yeah.
And he also said, well, you need to take a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not trying to overanalyze it, but I mean, those are the kind of pieces.
That was good stuff. It was totally good stuff.
So, so the two things that we know now
mm-hmm.
are powerful things. Our hope
mm-hmm.
and water.
And love.
And yeah. Yes. Right. Right. But Mysterious Stranger had August. Mr. Booth had a very interesting discussion. He said water binds things together.
Mm-hmm.
It flows everywhere. It was very,
connects
very
everything.
Interesting. Yeah.
He said if there's any magic, it would be in water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So,
I like his little flirtiness with her, frankly. Yep. And I'd be interested to see who he really is.
I also thought it was interesting that the siren was basically using tricks that a man would use in a seduction.
Really?
Yeah, because she was saying things like, I know you care, whatever. I can feel it. I, whatever. It was just that kind of...
That was very female.
Okay, fair enough.
Very female. That was very, very...
I know you want to. I can feel it. That.
Yeah. That now, that may be more male, but yeah.
Okay.
She was just very... Yeah, she was... Wow. Ginny was really good as a siren.
Yep. And, you know, so this episode, the one thing that I mm-hmm. really noticed a lot of was love through a crucible. Mm-hmm. And it was, if you really love somebody and you just think that it's going to be romance mm-hmm. and perfection mm-hmm. and never a late bill, never a problem, you're in for a shock.
Right.
And so in the part of like a hero's journey, it's if Mary Margaret and David are going to be together, they have to climb this mountain. Mm-hmm. They have to get through this difficulty. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately,
and more than one too.
Part of the difficulty is going to be the destruction of this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are people that don't look too keen on that.
Right.
Because they feel that the marriage should stay together.
Mm-hmm.
But if, in fact, this is where the story's going, I think it's a very interesting discussion. We've talked about lying. Mm-hmm. We've talked about honesty. Mm-hmm. We've talked about choice and responsibility and repercussions mm-hmm. and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting, will love survive?
Right.
And so when you watch Mary Margaret and David kind of walk through, it's very painful.
Very painful.
And so, you know, it at some point somebody has to say, is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it? You know, but now Catherine has left.
Well, we think she's left.
Well, she went away in a car.
She started to drive away in a car.
Okay.
And we saw at the end that her car had an accident.
Mm-hmm.
The airbags did deploy.
Yeah.
She's nowhere to be seen.
Right. The other thing that, you know, the writers are putting in is small town. The idea of a small town.
Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody's business.
Right.
Granny gave Mary Margaret the granny slap. You know what I mean?
Oh, a little bit,
just
yeah.
Just kind of, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself.
And yeah. That was really very, very, very harsh. Yeah. And the girls, the two girls that walked by mm-hmm. as Mary Margaret was walking down the street and kind of gave her the look and then turned into a, you know, a shop. The spray paint on the car, and then it turns out to be Regina, which didn't surprise me. But wow.
So she had the spray. How did you put
you
the two?
You didn't see the spray paint can in her drawer? Right.
Nope.
At the end, the very end, when she's burning the letter, she opens the drawer and inside is the red spray paint can. Right. And you can tell it was definitely her that did it.
So, okay, let's talk about this. We saw the famous skeleton keys,
mm-hmm.
key rings.
Which seem to have... They're essentially skeleton keys that master keys. They open a lot of different things.
I thought it was interesting if, in fact, Mr. Gold owns the town.
Yes.
That Regina has keys to
just everything. Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And are those her keys? Did she have them? Is there another set of master keys?
Well.
And why does she have the set?
I would imagine that that is the set from the drawer underneath the printer that we saw in Fruit of the Poisonous Tree.
Yes.
So, and I'm wondering, do the keys work on Mr. Gold's shop? Anything in Mr. Gold's shop? I mean, so anyway.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what else those keys open.
But the most incredible thing ever, Ruby Watch, ladies and gentlemen. We see not only the scene that we saw last time, or 7:15, I believe it was.
Yeah.
But we saw an extension of that.
Yeah. We saw the continuation.
So we got more Ruby.
Yes, we did.
And he didn't say what I thought he was going to say, which I would have said, "How you doing? If Snow White ain't there, well, what are you doing?"
Let's go into town. He's not in love with
her. Let's go to the Huntsman's Bar.
We'll get a little drinky drink.
We'll have a little talk.
He's not in love with her. He's in love with Snow.
Well, I mean, he's wearing the red hood. Maybe he's you know, has an affinity for red. And there you go, red. Mm-hmm. Okay.
She looked very pretty again, as usual.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. So, but anyway.
And I thought it was really, really like, whoa, very heroic and dashing for him to swing her up behind him on the horse. Let's get away. Let's run away. I'm like, and not because he wants to run away with her, just for safety's sake. I'm like, that's awesome.
We don't know that. See, you're reading stuff.
Trust me.
So King George now had the mail on his head. He's ready for battle.
Chainmail, yeah.
This guy, you know, he's ready.
The armor. He's ready to take him down.
So then. One of the final scenes, we see this car off the side of the road.
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was the same spot where Ashley's car went off the road.
Oh, very much so.
And we forgot to talk about, which actually this harkens back to one of the emails we got from a listener, is if somebody was golden, can they be turned ungold?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we now see that.
That it's possible.
That it is possible.
Very possible.
The water
from the lake. But that was because he was lost to her. Not because
But it still is possible.
Well, it's possible, but I don't think it's like you can go get I don't think you can go get water from that lake and hit any other gold object.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that it's specific to if that is a thing that has been lost.
Okay.
That's why.
So now Frederick is revealed.
Yes. Which, by the way, I was kind of surprised, but Frederick bumped into her in the hallway at the school when she went to go confront Mary Margaret.
Right.
And I said, "Oh, who's that guy?" I remember thinking to myself, "Oh, why'd they show his face? Because it's Frederick."
Okay. So what I'm wondering is, Frederick was heading the same direction out of town. Why?
Yeah, where was he going?
Was there a pizza place in Boston that he wanted to go to?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know.
I wondered, you know, was he sent there? Did he know? Does he know Tillman?
Oh, Michael Tillman.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe so. Anyway.
I don't know, but I think it's... Lots of questions. We know that Frederick is a teacher at the school.
Yep.
So... That'll be interesting.
More teachers.
He looked like he was a PE teacher, maybe.
Okay. All right. So that's about it, unless you have anything else.
No. Like I said, I really liked the episode. I mean, it's not my favorite episode, and I really missed Rumpelstiltskin and Mr. Gold, but I did like it. I thought there were so many really good parts to it. I thought there was some good dialogue. I like the fact that we finally learned... Oh, there is one more thing. So when she asked him, she goes, "I don't even know your name. I'm, you know what? Never mind." And he told her, and then he said, "I never lie." He said that. He said, "I never lie." Mm. So that'll be interesting to see whether or not that truly is the case.
Mm.
And if she really ever thinks about the actual right questions to ask him, because when he said, "Let's go get a drink. How about that drink?" He didn't mean alcohol. She assumed that. He took her to the wishing well for water.
Right.
And then that whole exchange about, well, usually it means like whiskey or whatever. And he goes, "You want me to get you drunk?" She goes, "No."
Yeah.
So she doesn't know what to make of him, because he said something, but he didn't mean what she thought. He had his own meaning. So she's got to figure out what his actual, when he says something, he doesn't mean it the way we are taking it. There's always a double meaning for it. So now we got to think about, anytime he says something, it's going to be something else.
I like Abigail a little more now.
Yeah.
And I think taking a cue from Lost is, sometimes you will not like somebody, but the more you see about them or their life or the decisions that they will or have made in the past, you will change your mind. And so one day we're going to see what changed the evil queen.
Yep.
And we will change our mind.
Maybe.
Because, maybe, like I said, you know, the best characters are the three-dimensional characters.
Yeah.
And if somebody's just all bad all the time, that's boring.
Sure.
But if you see why and see how it happened, then it opens up everything.
Sure does.
So, great episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to play the little the little information for the email and the voicemail and all that. Please send them our way, and we will certainly discuss them and play them. Yep. And we'll talk to you soon. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.